Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's part two of our discussion with Dr. Lise Alschuler about a great educational resource for practitioners and also kind of wonky lay people who want to really get an idea of what's going on the frontiers of natural medicine. Lise, among other things, she's past president of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians. She's president of the Oncology Association of Naturopathic Physicians. Her subspecialty within naturopathic medicine is cancer, but she also heads up TAP Integrative, which is a nonprofit educational resource for integrative practitioners. So let us focus a little bit on what TAP has been doing in the field of oncology, because I'm sure, you know, that's near and dear to your heart. You've spoken to experts in that field. What are some of the latest findings in relationship to natural therapies, natural support for cancer patients?
Oh, gosh. You know, there's so many interesting findings, but to keep it focused on TAP, right now we have three topics that are directly related to cancer. So we have a colon cancer prevention topic. We have a and that's by Tina Kaiser, who's a naturopathic doctor and another naturopathic oncologist. And then we have a topic called contemplative cancer care, which is really about the importance of mind-body medicine in the process of cancer diagnosis and treatment. And that's from Dr. Matt Mumber, a radiation oncologist. Hmm. And then we also have cancer biomarkers by Nalini Chilkov. And that's kind of a pretty meaty topic on how to use various laboratory testings to determine people's prognostic risk and things like that. And very soon we're going to have a prostate cancer and a breast cancer topic, so we're definitely filling in the cancer.
I think I know who you may be talking to about prostate cancer, if I'm not mistaken. Who will that be?
It's going to be Dr. Gio Espinosa.
Gee, I heard tell of that guy. He's my good colleague here in New York, and he's done several podcasts with us. So he's the man when it comes to natural support for a natural prevention of prostate cancer. He's written a great book called Thrive, Don't Just Survive, and I recommend it very highly. So you're really going to be getting into some good stuff with him. When it comes to you have some views on natural supplements for cancer. And I know that there's so many different forms of cancer, so many different stages of cancer. There's cancer when you're being treated with chemo, and there's cancer that's, you know, you want to prevent from coming back after it's been successfully treated, and there's cancer that's metastatic. You have some views on supplementation, which are kind of interesting. I've done, obviously, a lot of research on this, that certain supplements, very beneficial, certain, maybe not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so, first of all, there's more is not better. More is not better is a good kind of rule of thumb when thinking about cancer. A lot of times, I think people who are concerned with their cancer risk tend to take on the idea that the more they take and the more of what they have that they take, the better off they'll be. That's true for some nutrients, no doubt. Curcumin is a good example. We need high doses to really get a good effect. Vitamin D is another good example. We need certain amounts of vitamin D to really gain the prevention effects. But for other nutrients, it's not really the case. So some common ones that I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with would be, for example, beta-carotene. So beta-carotene is a great idea when we're eating it in vegetables because it's within its family of carotenoids and they act really well together. They help to keep each other stable. But when we take out the beta carotene and we isolate it and plop it into a supplement as a source of vitamin A, in concept that's a good idea, but it's not really a great idea if you're somebody who has any kind of oxidative risk exposure. So let's say you smoke, or you live in a polluted city, or you work in a place that you're exposed to chemicals, anything like that. What happens when you have a lot of extra beta-carotene by itself in your body is that the beta-carotene immediately grabs on to those oxidative, carcinogenic, or cancer-causing compounds from any of those exposures, and it tries to neutralize them. But in the process of neutralizing them, the beta-carotene itself becomes very unstable and highly reactive, and it can actually mutate our DNA. So it can become kind of a cancer-causing compound itself. That won't happen if it's within its family of carotenoids, but as an isolate, not such a good idea. And that's unfortunate because a lot of multivitamins have isolated.
Yeah. It's cheap, it's readily available, and, you know, it's an ingredient.
Yeah. I mean, so it's all relative, you know, a little bit is not going to hurt you, but that's just an example of some nutrients. So I think in general with cancer prevention and supplementation, it's good to apply some sophistication to it, to really try to understand behind the hype what the science is, you know, go beyond the claims and really dive in, or have your practitioner dive into the studies behind it and see what's really there.
And there is some controversy that still around the use of antioxidants during the time of radiation and chemo. And that keeps going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the weight of the evidence points these days?
You know, I think that, and my thinking is evolving as the evidence starts to crystallize. So right now I would say there's sort of two issues. One is, there's a different way to look at this too, just from the continuum of cancer itself. So if somebody does not have active disease, but they're concerned about getting cancer, they would be in what I would call the primary prevention category. Or if they've been through cancer, they don't have any active disease, and they're interested in preventing a recurrence. In both of those groups, I think antioxidation is really critical, because we know that the antioxidants will help to protect cells from the initiating events of cancer. However, when somebody has active disease, high doses of a lot of different antioxidants, I mean, never mind the potential interaction with chemo and radiation, but a lot of high-dose antioxidants during active disease actually confer some protective abilities to the cancer cells. And this is true for some antioxidants more than others. Good example of kind of a no-no antioxidant during active disease would be NAC or N-acetylcysteine.
Yeah. And that's interesting. You know, this specifically, you've given me a lifeline on a question that one of our listeners posed to me around glutathione. They had heard that glutathione may be bad for cancer. Now, so that puts some people off because we give glutathione for other conditions to people without cancer, but the glutathione being the end product of N-acetylcysteine, NAC is the precursor to glutathione in the body. It builds glutathione. So I'm glad that, you know, you who really immerse yourself in the literature are beginning to give this some consideration. We would not want to give someone with active cancer glutathione. Otherwise, it's quite permissible.
Yeah, and yes, you know, and I generally follow that rule of thumb. Of course, there's exceptions to every rule. When people are getting chemotherapy and radiation, there's been some, I would call them extensive but somewhat informal reviews of all the data that's been published on this, and so far there's been no clear evidence of harm.
Okay.
When you combine glutathione and or any antioxidant with chemotherapy, and even actually, for the most part, although we'll say radiation, maybe not so much, but with chemotherapy. But that's in part because when people are getting chemo, that's such a tremendously oxidatively stressful event.
Mm-hmm.
They're just drained of their antioxidants. So even just a little bit from a supplement perspective, it's probably resuscitating your immune cells and kind of keeping your healthy cells chugging along as best they can. So it's really not that big, you know, big of a concern. But even in that situation, if somebody has metastatic disease and or aggressive cancer, I still refrain from using high-dose antioxidants during treatment.
Okay, interesting. And another one that's controversial, and you know that this has gone back and forth, is folic acid or folate. You know, we have a lot of people taking folate. It's all the rage these days because of MTHFR, polymorphisms, and it's useful for getting homocysteine down, and it may help people with mood, acts as hamburger helper for antidepressants. And so some people have said, oh, you know, we're now fortifying bread with folic acid, and that may not be good for certain cancers, and too much folate may feed certain cancers. But there's sort of a duality about this nutrient that it's both preventive and promoting at different stages, right?
Yeah, and I think it's actually the same story as N-acetylcysteine or NAC, because folic acid appears to be protective in early, like prevention in early stages of tumor formation, but there is some evidence that it may increase the risk of progression once a tumor is established. Even that being said, though, that doses under 800 micrograms, there's really no statistically or clinically significant relationship right. there.
I think they did a study once of they did a study on looking at heart health, and they tried to lower people's homocysteine with a lot of folic acid, and it didn't seem to make a big difference in terms of heart disease. Maybe they didn't do it long enough or soon enough, but they also noted that in all those participants, there wasn't an increase in colon cancer risk. So the theory that it might be a promoter kind of got shot down, at least when it comes to, you know, before you have cancer. Maybe if you have an active cancer, you wouldn't want to take massive doses of folic acid or folate.
Yeah, and that kind of linkage was created really through epidemiological studies, and there was this little, they noticed an association between the time when we started to fortify our breads with folic acid and the rise in colon cancer, but that's turned out to be actually a blip. So that's come down, so that association isn't there anymore.
So many things have changed.
Fortify.
So many things have changed in our environment, you know.
Right. So it's got to be something else.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, these are the kinds of things that Dr. Lise Alschuler will drill down on in some of these clinical focus segments in TAP Integrative. I want to move on to, you know, one of my favorite areas, which is ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. I was honored to be invited by you to talk about that subject, which is near and dear to me. Can you tell listeners, or do you even remember what to tell listeners we discussed there and what resources they could find?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I should interview you now, right? Because you're the expert on the topic. But, yeah, you did a fabulous job, and I think what really struck me from our conversation was, number one, you have a clear, long track record of figuring out what helps people and what doesn't, and you were really very articulate about presenting the importance of an integrative approach and when people should continue to see their gastroenterologist and kind of the role of the integrative provider. I thought one of your and, you know, you covered diet, and you had some really, you know, important things to say about various diets, which you might want to talk a little bit about in
sure.
the supplements. But I thought what was interesting and unique was your use of IV nutrition for people with inflammatory bowel disease.
Very important.
That's actually something we haven't really heard much about before.
Yeah, very important, because and this is since we did this segment, and I would have thrown it in there had it been available, but they just did a survey about physicians who treat patients with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And they found that a woeful minority of them pay attention to their nutritional status. In other words, they're all about, and rightfully so, I mean, in crisis intervention, you use powerful drugs to stop the disease. But what falls by the wayside, and in the press of that, you know, office consultation where you got to cover a lot of bases, they don't look at nutrition and for repair and recovery and the normalization of your immune system, you really need adequate nutrition. So these people have, you know, as you know, they have two types of problems. One, they are really sick and they don't really eat very much. They may have severe diarrhea, you know, or pain, and that prevents them from eating a lot. They may be on rather bland diets because they think, you know, that's the way to go. They don't like to eat, you know, mounds of raw salad that are full of nutrients. So they're going to eat, you know, cream of wheat. And secondly, when the gut itself is inflamed, you don't absorb the critical nutrients that you need. So that's why sometimes we have to bypass the gut entirely and give a patient a drip, an intravenous drip. Can I share with you an interesting case recently?
Mm-hmm.
I had a woman who had very severe ulcerative colitis, and she had already been on what I like to prescribe, which is the specific carbohydrate diet, which is a grain-free diet that is restricted. But she had already failed many medications, and so the diet was her only lifeline. It helped keep her symptoms in check. And then at the tender age of 42, she said, you know, I froze an egg, and I'd like to get pregnant. Well, the only way that I was able to, even before the pregnancy, to keep her nutritionally balanced was to give her intravenous nutrition. And I don't really have a lot of experience giving intravenous nutrition to patients who are pregnant, because as you know, when patients are pregnant, we're a little careful about, you know, high dose mm-hmm. vitamins. We're kind of conservative. Give a nice prenatal, but not a lot of stuff. But she was really determined to go through the pregnancy, and she had abysmal test scores when it came to the supplements. Very low levels of, the basic carotenoids, and her folate was really low, which of course would cause neural tube defects. So I put together an IV cocktail for her, and I crossed my fingers, and she got her egg implanted, and she got pregnant. And,
wow.
And okay, so far so good, but what was going to be the outcome of that pregnancy? Was going to be normal? Well, it worked. Okay, she had a normal pregnancy. She now brings the baby in, and the baby's doing fine. And, you know, I mean, you never know, but it really seems to me that bypassing her sick gastrointestinal tract was critical in terms of bringing the nutrition to bear for an optimal pregnancy. It worked.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, and that's something that I think that's exactly the kind of wisdom that we seek on TAP Integrative, because you're not going to find that in any clinical trial.
Yep.
And yet here's, you know, you, Dr. Hoffman, who's been working with people with inflammatory bowel disease for a long time, knows how to make a good, you know, risk and benefit-based decision, and then look at this outcome. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that you'll find in TAP, because, and let's go through some of the topics that are available. I know hypertension is certainly a topic that you cover.
Mm-hmm.
Coronary yes. heart disease treatment and prevention.
Yep. Yep. We have a bunch. So we have autism. We talk about autism, autoimmunity. We have some interesting conversations related to depression. So we have just depression itself. We have there's an interesting expert, Dr. Decker Weiss, who has created this very interesting link between, well, he hasn't, but he's basing his clinical practice on the link between depression and cardiovascular disease, and that link being something called endothelial dysfunction, and how both depression and cardiovascular disease might in fact be manifestations of the same underlying process. That's a pretty interesting one. And therefore it's also very important when one has depression or when one has cardiovascular disease to look for the other condition, because they can kind of go hand in hand.
And of course, you know, we know depression is a major risk factor for cardiovascular disease. And it's not the converse. It's not like, oh, you know, you this is before even the development of cardiovascular disease. It's not like you're depressed because you had a heart attack. As leading up to the event, depression heightens your risk several fold.
Right. Yes. And it's starting to get some attention even by the American Heart Association, so that linkage is really pretty clear now, which is good, because it definitely needs to be addressed, I think, for people who have those health conditions. We have some interesting topics on anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury.
That's a fish oil topic. There's fish oil somewhere in that picture, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most common recommendations throughout the topics, for sure, is fish oil.
Yeah.
But, actually the expert who is talking to us about traumatic brain injury has so many degrees, I can't even begin to summarize them all, but he's a chiropractor, he's a nurse practitioner, he's a nutritionist, Dr. Brandon Brock, and he has been working with vets, and he's been working with, you know, people who have suffered other forms of traumatic brain injury. Has a really clear understanding of the underlying processes, what we call pathophysiology of traumatic brain injury, and with that understanding, has a very comprehensive approach where he gets pretty incredible outcomes. And, you know, this ranges from things starting with a calorically restricted ketogenic diet, moving all the way up through anti-inflammatory supplementations to various hormonal supplementations.
Right.
And he's got really fascinating way to approach it. But just so nice. I just was really pleased with that topic, because I think that's one example where still a lot of practitioners think, oh gosh, there's nothing I can do. You know, we can't get into the brain and help it out. But in fact, there's a lot.
I think that's a new revelation, is that traumatic brain injury and even, you know, mild concussions can cause long-term problems, and that it's not hopeless. There are interventions that can be performed to bring these people back. It's good stuff. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of TAP. How much does it cost? $1,200 a year for, you know, the full subscription?
We should raise our price a little bit. So, the normal price is $149 a year, and that is full access. There's a lot of other benefits. So once people are members, they also get all of that CME, CE for free.
Yeah.
We have a article retrieval service. So for clinicians who no longer have access to free full-text articles through
their university. Oh, that's valuable. Yeah.
Yeah. They can order as many as they want, whenever they want, through TAP, which is a huge benefit. That's our price right now. It's very, I think, quite reasonable. And we are definitely a growing organization. We're close to 1,000 members now.
Wow.
And,
congratulations.
What's really awesome about that is it's really nicely spread between naturopathic doctors, medical doctors, osteopathic doctors, chiropractors, nurses, dietitians, nutritionists. We got the whole gamut in there. We have a forum, too, so members can dialogue with and learn from one another, because we're all experts also, so we really want to make sure that people have the opportunity to tap each other for information and resource.
And short of that $149 subscription, our general audience, intelligent medicine listeners, can access some of the material via TAP Integrative, the website, right?
Yeah, so general, actually, it's free for, if you don't qualify as a practitioner, then you can just sign up for the newsletter and you'll get that emailed to you every week, and that's free. There's no charge for that. And of course, those YouTube videos are free for people as well.
Okay. And do you have a special rate, or, you know, say one of our listeners wants to make a gift to their health practitioner, their doctor, their internal medicine person, are you having a holiday special or something coming up?
Actually, we're having a Hoffman special.
All right.
Yes, if people want to give this to their practitioner, when they sign up, if they put in to a promotional code space.
Promotional code Hoffman. Okay.
Promotional code Hoffman, then they get that full year's membership for $99.
All right.
And we'll honor that every time they renew.
Excellent. Okay. Hey, congratulations. So, we are certainly a mutual admiration society, and you keep on delivering just great content to both the general public, you know, through, let's mention, you do a radio program as well, the 5 to Thrive radio program.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's on Tuesdays on W4CS.com at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And, I would love to come back on your show at some point and talk about my newest initiative for the general public, which is a cancer survivorship health mobile wellness application. It's really cool. It's called the iThrive Plan. We're about to launch it for real in October.
All right.
And it is pretty neat.
Consider yourself booked. Let's launch it. Let's work out, the bugs, and and when it's fully operational, we'll bring you back to talk to the lay people about the iThrive Plan mobile web application that creates customized wellness plans for cancer survivors. How cool is that?
Yeah, good.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. Let's let you get back to work because you're a busy person. Pleasure having you on once again.
Thank you so much. It was really nice to be here with you.
Thanks. That was Dr. Lise Alschuler. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.